Lecture topic, The Mysterious Life of the Pious, Part 1.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم إن خير التابعين رجل يقال له أويس بن عامر فمن لقيه منكم فمروه فليستغفر لكم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, it has become the norm of our times that every person wants to associate and identify himself with a big project, with a big happening, under the pretext of serving Islam on a macro level, on a big scale, with the hope of supposedly securing maximum benefit and great reward. Apparently, the theory looks bulletproof. Sounds perfectly well, the logic clicks with the mind, gels with the thoughts. However, there is a major flaw with the above theory which has become the norm of our times. This theory by implication suggests that a person will be rewarded for an action in relation and in proportion to the perception of people. So as society will identify with a project, how much coverage it will get in the mainstream media, how much mileage it will gain amongst the people, so will I be rewarded. Whereas we know Islamically, a person will be rewarded for an action in relation to the goodness of that action. And that only Allah can judge. That only Allah can judge. And it is for the very same reason that our pious predecessors approached the smallest of actions with the greatest of enthusiasm, nay, with the desperation of a person who fully is aware that he needs to secure every bit of reward. So they never trivialize the performance of any good action. And it brings me to a very famous Arabic proverb which goes as follows, خَيْرٌ لِلْإِنسَانِ مِنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ خَيْرٌ لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَكُونَ كَالسُّلَحْفَاتِ فِي طَرِيقِ الْحَقِّ مِنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ غَزَالًا فِي طَرِيقِ الْخَطَئِ. It means it is better for you to be a snail, a tortoise, essentially to move at the pace of a tortoise on the correct road, with the correct motives, than to run like a deer on the wrong road. It is better for you to move at the pace of a snail, with the right motivating factor, with the correct objective, treading the correct path for the correct reasons, than to run like a deer on a large scale, on a macro level, do it loud and public. And I'm not necessarily suggesting that everything that is done loud and public is wrong. But what I want to undo in my humble talk today is the perception that if I do something small, simple, basic and discreet, then perhaps it's not accepted. And if it is loud and it is spoken about, then this defines its acceptance as has become the norm of our times. Now I quoted a hadith before you, and perhaps many of us might not be familiar with this person, and that is exactly what I want to speak about. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and it is the hadith of Muslim Sharif, Inna khayra at-tabi'een rajulun yuqalu lahu Uwais ibn Amir. Amongst the greatest of successes, meaning those who had the privilege to see the Sahaba, is a person by the name of Uwais ibn Amir. Suffice to say, the profile of this person that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressing the congregation of Sahaba, whom the Quran declares, وَكُلَّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى وَكُلَّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. That the Quran openly declares every Sahabi has been guaranteed goodness and virtue, meaning entry into Jannah. Yet the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam, addressing a profound congregation like the Sahaba, said to them, if you are ever fortunate to meet this tabi'i, make it a point to ask him to make dua for you. Now that speaks volumes on the caliber of this person. You are not speaking to ordinary people, you are speaking to people like Abu Bakr and Umar, and in particular Umar, as I will endeavor to elucidate on how passionate Umar radiallahu anhu was in this regard. So Umar radiallahu anhu had this desire in him, I need to meet this man Uwais, Uwais ibn Amir. Kana idha ata alayhi amdadu ahli al-Yaman, whenever the delegations from Yemen used to come, Umar radiallahu anhu used to stand up and say, afikum Uwais ibn Amir, is there any gentleman here that is by the name of Uwais ibn Amir? Hatta ata ala Uwaisin, until one day he was fortunate enough to meet the person individually. So he said, brother, are you Uwais ibn Amir? He said, yes indeed. Min murad thumma min qarn, you belong to the murad tribe, the qarn, the qarn branch. He said, yes indeed. Kana bika barasun fa bara'ta minhu illa mawdi'a dirhamin, you suffered leprosy and then Allah cured you from this illness with the exception of the size of one dirham. He said, yes. Laka walidatun, you have a mother to whom you are very diligent and very devout and you serve. He said, yes indeed. He said, okay my brother, now that I have put my checks in place and I am convinced I am speaking to the right person, let me tell you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whenever you meet this man, then implore him and ask him to make dua that Allah must forgive you. So I seize the opportunity and I ask you, Uwais, istaghfir li, make dua that Allah must forgive you. So Uwais, rahmatullah alayhi, then lifts his hands and he makes dua in the favor of Umar ibn Khattab, that, oh Allah, pardon Umar. Umar is elated, he's overwhelmed, he's gripped by jubilation. This is the pinnacle of excitement for him, that he has secured the dua on a person that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had referred to. Umar radiallahu anhu said, how can I appreciate your profile? What can I do to acknowledge you? How can I pay tribute to you? Aina turid? Where are you off to? He said, I'm off to Kufa and that is my basis. Aktubu laka ila amiliha? Can I communicate your profile to the governor of Kufa that he appreciates the talent and the type of people that are residing in his area? He said, أن أكون في غبراء الناس أحب إلي. Umar, this is my dua to Allah. Oh Allah, don't divulge my secret between me and you. For the hadith of Muslim Sharif, for me to live amongst people who don't know me and to die amongst them, this is the passion of my life. لأن أكون في غبراء الناس أحب إلي. I'm afraid we have become so desperate for the podium and the platform and for the light and the fame and the recognition, that many a people consciously consume unlawful things, consciously indulge in haram. I tell the brother, my brother, you are at war with Allah. He says, you're right, but you know what? It secures the stage for me. It gives me the platform. I assimilate with the big boys of the community. I'm identified with the affluent people of society. And that reminds me of a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with his sahaba and passes a young talented boy. فَرَآ أَصْحَابُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ جَلَدِهِ وَنَشَاطِهِ فَقَالُوا لَوْ كَانَ هَذَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The sahaba looked at the talent, the skill, the measure, the maturity, the control, the authority, the composure of this person, and they said, brilliant indeed are his talent. He enjoys salient qualities. If only these abilities of his could be channeled in the cause of deen, how more fruitful it would have not been. And the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in kana kharaja yas'a على أولاده الصغار فهو في سبيل الله، وإن كان خرج يسعى على أبوين شيخين كبيرين فهو في سبيل الله، وإن كان خرج يسعى على نفسه يعفها فهو في سبيل الله، وإن كان خرج يسعى رياء ومفاخرة فهو في سبيل الشيطان. If he is going out to earn, as I gather from the manner in which he is walking, to secure halal livelihood for his aged parents, then make no mistake, he is perpetually in the path of Allah. If he is going out to earn for his children and put a platter of food before his children, he is equally in the path of Allah. Nay, if he is going out to earn only to provide, to saturate his own belly, he is equally in the path of Allah. However, if he's going out riyaan wa mufakharatan, to maintain the elite profile, these are the words of the hadith, to identify with the wealthy, to identify with the affluent, then I'm afraid due to the contamination and pollution in his intention, he no longer remains in the path of Allah, he's now in the path of the devil. I'm saying here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has refer to this person, not whose earnings are forbidden and haram, not who's indulging in forbidden or doubtful or grey areas. The item per se, the article per se, the nature of the transaction is pure and wholesome. The contamination is in the intention. The pollution is in the intention. So he said, أَنْ أَكُونَ فِي غَبَرَاءِ النَّاسِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ. For me to be amongst the poor people, unknown, live my life, I'm gone, do my thing between me and my Allah, I'm happy. Anyway, Umar radiallahu anhu respected his sentiments and he let him go. فَلَمَّا كَانَ الْعَمُّ الْمُقْبِلِ. When the next year came, Umar radiallahu anhu addressing the people on Hajj, he said, مَنْ هُنَا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكُوفَةِ. Is there anybody here from Kufa? So somebody said, yeah, there is some group that had come along from Kufa as well. He said, can you perhaps introduce me to the people that are here from Kufa? He met up with them. He said, are you people from Murad and Qarn, from the common tribe that I need to know about? He said, yes indeed. كَيْفَ تَرَكْتَ خَلِيلِي وَصَدِيقِي. How's my bosom friend doing that side? So people like Umar, do you have a close friend of yours in Kufa that we don't know about? Who are you referring to? He said, كَيْفَ تَرَكْتَ أُوَيْسَ بْنَ عَامِرٍ. What's the condition of my friend Uwais? So one of them spoke, حَجَّ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَشْرَافِهِمْ. And this is the words of Muslim Sharif, a very respectable person from the very community. He said, you're asking about Uwais. تَرَكْتُهُ رَثَّ الْبَيْتِ قَلِيلَ الْمَتَاعِ. I'm sorry to say, the poorest man in our community, nobody greets him, nobody looks at him. I doubt the man is breaking even. I'm not even sure if he's got shelter over his head. Umar said, my brother, come, I tell you something. You've come here for Hajj. You can secure the reward of Hajj daily with the man you have in your company. The gentleman that's staying there, the Nabi of Allah told me, Umar is saying, that Umar, if you meet him, take his du'as, you will be secured. He said, I felt ashamed. I felt humbled. I said, there's such talent in my community and I don't even know the man. Anyway, after the rituals of Hajj and pilgrimage were over, I made it a conscious intention that I'm going to go and meet up with the man. When I got to his house, he's now obviously surprised because living in the neighborhood, I never would greet him. And suddenly I'm coming with utmost respect at his door. So I open, he says, always opens the door. I walk in, I give him a warm hug. I embrace him. I greet him, I kiss him. So he said, looks like you got back from Hajj and you've met Umar. He said, yes indeed, always you are correct. Anta hadithu ahdin bi safarin salih. You've just got back from Hajj. Because you were living here all the time. Walaqita Umar. And you've met Umar. He said, yes indeed, I've met Umar and I've got back from Hajj. And my apologies that I really didn't recognize who you were. He said, no, that's fine. I beg of your forgiveness and I ask you to make a dua in my favor. So he said, always made a dua in my favor. But this was the salient thing about this man. And this is what I'm saying. We need to start looking at sincere measures and serious ways that I need to do things exclusively for Allah. And that's the ayat kareema that I recited. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. Whoever is passionate to meet his Allah, tell him to make it a serious and a dedicated agenda to do actions exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Scholars say the definition of ikhlas is that you become so passionate in concealing your good, like how you are passionate in concealing your wrong. A person, Allah forbid, who's pursuing an illicit relation, sometimes it's amazing to see his obsession over his phone. Because that phone, that gives out, that's a leak out. That phone is, if that phone comes out, perhaps the implications are beyond marriage and even more. So the passion with which I conceal my wrong, my son mustn't know, my wife mustn't know, my neighbor mustn't know, my boss mustn't know, my parents mustn't be exposed. That equal desire that my good must remain a secret between me and my Allah. So anyway, this person goes back, he speaks to him, Uwais ibn Amir makes dua and that's it. The amazing thing in the life of this man was that as long as you did not know and identify his bond with Allah, you could meet him daily. And I will share with you narrations to support it. No sooner you realize his profile, consider that meeting the last with him. This is how he lived his life. As soon as people came to know who he was, and the privileges he carried, and the honor he enjoyed, then after that he would disappear from sight. In one narration of Muslim Sharif it comes, that amongst the people that came, Umar radiallahu anhu asked them, any one of you knows Uwais? كان فيهم رجل يسخر بأويس. Amongst them was a person who used to mock at Uwais, who used to scoff at Uwais, who used to laugh at Uwais. So Umar said, you know Uwais? He said, hey, other man, I tease him every day. He said, my brother, hold your tracks. Let me tell you, this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He said, I felt so embarrassed, I went back to Kufa, I apologized, I tried to patch up, and I tried to secure his happiness. Now just one, two things very noteworthy in the life of Uwais rahmatullah alayh, amongst others. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had described him that he is a person who suffered leprosy. And he was cured from his leprosy with the exception of the size of one dirham. These are the general narrations. In Tarikh Madinati Dimishq, in the 9th volume, in the writings of Ibn Asakir, I read this narration myself, and Allah be my witness, when I read it, I was riveted. I was speechless. He suffered this illness and then he was cured with the exception of the size of one dirham. This was not a coincidence that Allah had cured him, but a portion of the illness had remained. He had consciously implored Allah, Allahumma da'li fi jasadi. Allahumma da'li fi jasadi minhu ma adhkuru bihi ni'matak. And I swear by Allah, my brother and my sister, if you take nothing from my humble talk today but this one proclamation, consider your time coming here and your effort put together here today sufficient. He used to make dua, oh Allah, cure me from my illness, but don't cure me in totality. Oh my Allah, what a dua. Oh my Allah, leave a trace of my previous condition so I am reminded of your kindness daily. Oh my Allah, leave a trace of my illness. Today, if a person is cured of cancer, but there's 0.1, 0.1, they say 5 years, you still can't sigh with relief. It can come back. You never know. It's not yet over. You must tread, you know, precautionary routes and watch your diet and the rest of it. He made a conscious dua. Allahumma da'li fi jasadi minhuma adhkuru bihi ni'matak. Oh my Lord, don't cure me in its entirety. Leave behind a portion of the illness so that I can look at that illness, my Allah, and constantly be reminded of how you've cured me. So the narration suggests Allah left the sign and the trace of leprosy on his navel. And every day he would look. Now, you know, these people, I mean, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, during his reign, he one day, unexpected announces, As-salatu jami'atun. Just make an announcement, everybody must congregate immediately in the masjid. So people flock to the masjid. He ascends the pulpit. He praises and glorifies Allah. And then he said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ نَفْسِي وَقَدْ كُنْتُ أَرْعَى غَنَمًا لِخَالَاتٍ لِي مِنْ بَنِي مَخْزُومٍ فَيَقْبِذْنَ لِي الْقَبْضَةَ مِنَ التَّمَرِ. You know, brothers, I must just tell you, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is saying, go down memory lane, pre-Islamic times, I used to graze the flock here in the neighborhood an entire day, and in the evening they used to give me a handful of dates. And that was about what my remuneration was for grazing the flock. Okay, and that's about it. Jazakallah for coming to listen to my message. You folks can return. So everybody's like, now Umar, you know what? The narration is in Hayat al-Sahaba. What's up? But who dare would ask Umar? Who dare would ask Umar? There's a narration in Bukhari. There's a narration in Bukhari. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says, Ibn Abbas and Umar radiallahu anhu had a profound relation. He said, Allah speaks about two women in Surah Tahrim. إِن تَتُوبَا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ صَغَتْ قُلُوبُكُمَا إِن تَتُوبَا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ صَغَتْ قُلُوبُكُمَا وَإِن تَظَاهَرَا عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ وَجِبْرِيلُ وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ ظَهِيرٌ. Two consorts, two spouses of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, repent to Allah. Because if you do not repent, then remember Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not single. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ. Allah is his guardian. وَجِبْرِيلُ, and he has the backing of Jibril. وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and the pious believers are with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ ظَهِيرٌ, and the angels in the entirety aid Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, I had this passion to understand explicitly who were the two spouses referred to in this verse. مَكَثْتُ سَنَةً, the narration of Bukhari. مَكَثْتُ سَنَةً أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَسْأَلَ عُمَرَ بْنَ الْخَطَّابِ عَنِ اللَّتَانِ تَظَاهَرَتَا. For 1 year I diligently walked behind Umar, but I couldn't muster the courage to ask Umar. So I would come to Umar, and Umar would look at me and say, how are you, Umar? Request for du'as, inshallah. Then I just walk away. Then I say, no, today I'm going. Today I'm going, and I'm going to ask Umar. Once upon a time, the Ummah had that level of respect for the learned and the pious. Then this Ummah was in its glory. Then this Ummah was in its prime. He said, we went for Hajj. And generally in journey, the strictness is somehow relaxed. The formalities, to an extent, are compromised. So Umar excused himself to perform ablution. I seized the opportunity. I said, this is a great moment. I said, let me pour water, and in the discussion, I'll put my question forward. I got the water, I started pouring. I said, Umar, you know, I'm just wondering, man, in Surah Tahrim, Allah makes reference to two verses, to two spouses of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You just want to remind me, who are we talking about there? He said, tilka Aisha wa Hafsa. That is Aisha and Hafsa radiallahu anhuma. So Ibn Abbas said, Umar, can I tell you something now that you've told me the answer? He said, go for it. He said, by Allah, 1 year, my man, I'm behind you. 1 year. So Umar radiallahu anhu says this year. Now everybody's like, we were busy and we walk in the masjid. Who's going to ask? So they tap Abdurrahman ibn Auf. They said, Ibn Auf, you ask Umar. So he said, Umar, we respect your profile and your seniority. But I mean, can you give us a bit of a rationale and logic to tell everybody abruptly terminate your activities and converge and congregate and assemble in the masjid only to hear about your days as a shepherd and how much they paid you? He said, my brothers, I don't know if I wasted your time, but I definitely didn't waste my time. I was sitting there and I had a flash of pride in my heart. And I had this feeling, anta amirul mu'mineen, man dha afdal minka. This thought came in me, Umar, you are the great Umar. You are amirul mu'mineen. So I felt the desperate need of deflating my ego on that moment. So I gathered everyone. My brother, I had to hit hard on my ego. It reminds me of another narration. One day Umar radiallahu anhu was moving with his people. And there was obviously a bit of an entourage, cavalcade, some presence around him in his own way. And there stands a very elderly woman, Khawla bint Tha'labah radiallahu ta'ala anha. regarding whom Allah has made reference in the Quran. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. Look at these people. So anyway, Umar radiallahu anhu is walking, and with him is his presence, and there is this elderly woman. فَاسْتَوْقَفَتْهُ. She tells Umar, stop. Now today we want to chant the slogans of empowering women. Once upon a time in our glory days, an elderly aged citizen, nay a female, could exercise the authority of halting the head of state in public. Today you must be lucky if you get a glimpse of the car in which the president drives, if it constitutes a privilege by your definition. Different strokes for different folks. Umar, Umar, Umar. Oh my word. As I seen you walking and people chanting the slogans of Amirul Mu'mineen, Umar, my mind started turning the pages of history. This woman is telling Umar. Umar, my mind started turning the pages of history and my thoughts started racing with me. And everybody is behind Umar. Who's day going to go ahead of Umar? Abu Darda radiallahu anhu one day walking fast, so he just walked ahead of Abu Bakr. Nabi alayhi salam looked at him and said, Ya Abu Darda, tamshi amama rajulin lam tatla'u shamsu ala ahadin ba'da nabiyyina afdal min Abi Bakrin. Abu Darda, that was rather a bold step. Could you muster the courage to walk ahead of that person that after the galaxy of the prophets, the sun hasn't risen on a more noble man than Abu Bakr? That was a bold step to walk ahead of him. لَمْ تَتْلَعُ الشَّمْسُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ بَعْدَ النَّبِيِّينَ أَفْطَلْ مِنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. So anyway, she said, Umar, my mind started turning the pages of history. Let me tell you your tale, Umar. Oh Allah. And I want you to apply this to yourself. And each man can apply it in his own context. We talk of humble beginnings to where Allah has taken us. But how much do we remind ourselves of that? She said, Umar, I remember you as a child, which you won't remember yourself. You were better known as Umair in the neighborhood. They didn't even call you Umar. I'm telling you, you were a little child. قَدْ كُنْتَ تُدْعَى أُمَيْرًا قَدْ كُنْتَ تُدْعَى أُمَيْرًا. As a little boy in the neighborhood, your name was Umair. ثُمَّ قِيلَ لَكَ عُمَرٌ. Then time moved on, things evolved, you grew up, you showed some early talent as a young boy. So they started calling you Umar. ثُمَّ قِيلَ لَكَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Umar, now you sit on this delicate stage where the spotlight is on you, the glory is with you, the fame is with you. It's either the great Umar, it's the conqueror Umar, it's the giant Umar, or it's Amirul Mu'mineen Umar. Umar, I'm going to omit all the titles and talk to you like a mother. فَاتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَا عُمَر. فَاتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَا عُمَر. Umar, I'm going to talk to you like a son and I'm a mother talking. My boy Umar, watch yourself and fear Allah. My boy Umar, watch yourself and fear Allah. I wish my brother, my young brother, you could also respect the elderly people of our community. There was that time. There was that time, and it wasn't too long ago, where any elderly person could address any child, regardless of the diversity of culture or religion or otherwise. A senior member enjoyed respect by every junior. There was a time when a youngster could not smoke in public. He was compelled by the fabric of society. He was governed by certain ethics and values. Automatically without choice, when he seen a senior, that cigarette went down and he either extinguished it or dropped it or excused himself. I'm afraid today it has reached a level of defiance and arrogance. So it's deliberately lighting the cigarette to provoke you to see how dare you tell me anything. What is left of that community when respect is gone? أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبِي. My master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my Allah molded me, he nurtured me, he fashioned me, And he perfected my manners. He left nothing short. فَاتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَا عُمَرْ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ أَيْقَنَ بِالْحِسَابِ خَافَ الْعَذَابِ وَمَنْ أَيْقَنَ بِالْمَوْتِ خَافَ الْفَوْتِ. Umar, I must tell you, if you believe in accountability, if you believe in azab of akhirat, you will fear accountability before Allah. And if you believe in death, you will value every minute. Hasan Basri, describing the Sahaba, said, أَدْرَكْتُ أَقْوَامًا كَانَ أَحَدُهُمْ أَشَحَّ عَلَىٰ عُمْرِهِ مِنْهُ عَلَىٰ دِرْهَمِهِ. I found the Sahaba, and if I must define them with a common thread, a group who were more possessive over time than money. You could get money out of them, time you never got. Ask, reverse it. Time, my brother said, the night is young. Relax, chill, take it easy. So people at the back said, Umar, أَتَقِفُ لِهَذِهِ الْعَجُوزِ هَذَا الْوُقُوفِ. Umar, we respect in your seniority, but I mean, who's this old woman? Who's this old woman? Who's this kala you sitting and listening to? Umar radiallahu anhu said, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ حَبَسَتْنِي مِنْ أَوَّلِ النَّهَارِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ اللَّيْلِ لَازِلْتُ إِلَّا لِصَلَاةِ الْمَكْتُوبَةِ. If this woman tells me to stand here and continues admonishing me, not advising, admonishing me, I won't move an inch with the exception of my obligatory prayers. If it means the entire night and day, I will diligently listen to every word of hers. So then he became the great Umar. Then he became who he became. So anyway, coming back to the incident of Uwais ibn Amir. Speaking on that, O Allah, leave in my body that which makes me reflect over your mercy constantly. Usayr ibn Jabir says, I was in Kufa. Someone tapped me, said, you want to meet Uwais? I said, my brother, I'm dying to meet the man. He said, you see the brother performing two rakat salat, that's the man. Tanahha ila sariyatin fasalla rak'atain. He performed two rakat salat. So we were overexcited and over enthusiastic that we're going to meet such a great man after he completed his salah. And then we want our youngsters to go and greet people who the world defines as celebrities, whose morals are in shambles. Tomorrow your son gets up and identifies himself that he has inclinations to the same gender. They don't ask him where this came. You made him glorify. You made him glorify people who are quite bold on their status. These are the very people, go up and you pride yourself that my son met with so and so. Ask yourself serious questions. I'm not even elevating it to the religious circle. I'm saying look at the person's morals and values. Look at the man behind the scenes. Let's talk as common humans. Let's not bring religion in the equation. As universal principles, how will you evaluate the caliber of this person? And then you want to honor this man, revere this person, and make him the star, keep his image, keep his photo, and die for him. What a tragedy. What a painful sight. So he said, after he completed his salah, we came around him. He said, Mali walakum tata'una aqabi. Why are you people crowding me? Wa ana insanun da'if. I'm a simple, ordinary man. So please avoid crowding me. I need to do my own things. We said, apologies. We know that you like to be alone in seclusion. But, you know, it would be great if you can perhaps just give us some pearls of advice. He said, okay, I'm going to give you one advice and that's it. We said, perfect. We're happy. We'll settle for anything. He said, the gatherings of deen and the religious discourses are attended and frequented by one of three types of people. مُؤْمِنٌ فَقِيهٌ وَمُؤْمِنٌ غَيْرُ فَقِيهٍ وَمُنَافِقٌ. مُؤْمِنٌ فَقِيهٌ وَمُؤْمِنٌ غَيْرُ فَقِيهٍ وَمُنَافِقٌ. There are three types of people that come to the gathering. The one is a believer who, in addition to being a believer, imbibes in his bosom the sciences of Islam. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. In Surah Mujadilah, in the 28th juz, you must see under the commentary of this ayat what the Mufassirin have written. That one is an average person who complies to the order of Allah because he's told it's the command of Allah. But one is a person who enjoys the sciences of Islam. And he doesn't just comply because he's told, but he appreciates the injunction himself. So the level of conviction with which he's going to apply himself to the implementation of that injunction is with a greater level of devotion, provided he has that level of iman as well. So one is the mu'min who has the understanding of deen, he attends the gathering. What happens to him? He is like a tree that bears fruit. فَتَزْدَادُ وَرَقَهَا حُسْنًا وَإِنَاعًا. So he does bear fruit, but by him attending these gatherings, it obviously enhances the produce, it enhances the quality of the fruit that this tree will bear. That's the person who has iman and who has an understanding of deen. وَمُؤْمِنٌ غَيْرُ فَقِيهٍ. And it is the general Muslim, that is you and I, including myself. Allah make us amongst the believers, but people like us who have no knowledge, when we attend a gathering, then what happens? By virtue of this gathering, we gain spiritual stimulation. And it spurs us onto the performance of good deeds and righteous deeds, thereby making our trees those that begin to produce fruits. So a person comes out from a gathering, there's a change in his life. There's an improvement in his life. There's an impact in his life. And the third person is a munafiq. And his example is like water falling on dry stalk. It doesn't empower, it doesn't nourish, it doesn't cultivate, it doesn't soften, it doesn't enhance. And then he recited the verse, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. That we send in the Quran, that which is a cure for the believers. But the very thing that cures the believers aggravates the oppression and the aggression of the sinners because of their distorted nature. One day the Prophet ﷺ was sitting with the Sahaba. So he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ الْأَسْفِيَاءَ الْأَتْقِيَاءَ. Allah loves from His servants those that fear Him. الخمسة بطونهم المغبرة وجوههم الشعثة رؤوسهم. Those whose faces at times are dusty, whose hair is shabby, disheveled, whose bellies are empty due to the fact that they restrict themselves to only that which is pure and halal. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, كسب الحلال أشد من نقل الجبل. Ask me to move a mountain, I'm ready. But tell me only to bring that which is halal, that's more difficult and more daunting. The moving of a mountain. Again, what's your definition of halal? I mean, if you travel in the world, you will see, unfortunately, for many a Muslim, the definition of haram is wine and swine. Anything besides that is halal. Anything besides that goes. Whatever floats your boat, let it go. كَسْبُ الْحَلَالِ أَشَدُّ مِنْ نَقْلِ الْجَمَلِ. So amongst the servants of Allah are those whose faces at times are dusty, whose hair is disheveled, whose bellies are empty. الَّذِينَ إِذَا اسْتَأْذَنُوا عَلَى الْأُمَرَاءِ لَمْ يُؤْذَنْ لَهُمْ. If they want to make a meeting with some high profile person from the door, he says, you don't even come close to my property. وَإِذَا خَطَبُوا الْمُتَنَعِّمَاتِ لَمْ يُنْكَحُوا. If they want to forward a proposal to a good woman, in social standing, it's not entertained. When they were in طَلَعُوا لَمْ يُفْرَحْ بِطَلَعَتِهِمْ. Their presence doesn't enhance the profile of the gathering. In غَابُوا لَمْ يُفْتَقَدُوا. Their absence is not felt. In مَرِضُوا لَمْ يُعَادُوا. They become sick, people don't know. In مَاتُوا لَمْ يُشْهَدُوا. They pass away, people don't attend their funeral. Abu Huraira said, oh Nabi of Allah, you're going on describing. Can you give us an example? Nabi Sallallahu said, who better than Uwais Qarni? ذاك أويس القرني. So Abu Huraira said, oh Nabi of Allah, but I don't even know who's this man. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he's a man who is in the service of his mother. Make dua that you meet him. Make dua that you meet him. There is a narration also in the same, there's about 50 pages in this last volume, the ninth volume of Tariq Madinati Dimashq, and Alhamdulillah I sat and read it. It's in Arabic. It's a brilliant read. It's amazing, it's amazing. There was a person by the name of Harim ibn Hayyan. Harim ibn Hayyan. If you remember my opening comments, something private, something secret. Nobody knows you, people are mocking at you, but this is your contact with Allah. Suffice to say, in the privilege of this man, maybe just to digress and to contextualize what I intend saying, Allama Zamakhshari, the great mufassirin, the giant scholar of tafsir, has said, under the commentary of this ayah, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. That in this verse, Allah instructs Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to follow Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allama Zamakhshari says, if you put all the virtues of Ibrahim on one side, this is the greatest feather in the cap of Ibrahim, that the greatest human was instructed, follow Ibrahim. For Ibrahim alayhi salam, that's the greatest honor. That's the greatest honor that the greatest human, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was told, follow Ibrahim alayhi salam. What more does a person need in the profile of a person that the sahaba are told, make it a point to take his du'as, being a non-sahabi? So Harim ibn Hayyan said, Qadimtu al-Kufa. I came to Kufa. فَلَمْ يَكُنْ لِي هَمٌّ إِلَّا أُوَيْسَ الْقَرْنِ. I came with an exclusive intention to meet this man. Like how we have today people flying from one side of the continent to another for one business meeting. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying that defines what are priorities in our lives. To fly, how often I've met, flying once in Malaysia and flying from Kuala Lumpur, and there was this whole group of people. Where are you guys from? Cape Town. Where are you off to? We're flying to play golf. For how long? For 2 days. I said, but is there a tournament? Is there some major event? Is there some big thing happening? What's it all about? I said, Ya Allah, you know, where is the talent of people going? What are the priorities of people? The other day, I had to speak at a medical graduation. So I mentioned this, that I was once flying from Malawi. And we went there for an opening of the masjid, and the Quran was translated in the vernacular language. And we were there for the opening, getting back, boarded the flight. There was a doctor on flight, and he came to greet me, introduce one another, liked your talk, etc. Got speaking, what are you? I'm a medical professional person. Where you practice? No, I gave up practice. So I said, okay, that's strange. Why? He said, because through my medical practice, I couldn't live up to inflation. So I said, unpack that for me. He said, and these were his words, and Allah guide one and all. Allah guide one and all. I'm not short of anything. But in my practice, in the first 3 years, I bought a particular car of a particular brand at a certain value. And 3 years later, the equivalent car that was gone up and the newer model that came out, I couldn't buy that later model. And I realized I'm not living up to the standards of inflation. So I decided to give up my practice and get into business. Allah be my witness, it hit my heart, the pain hasn't left. It hit my heart, the pain hasn't left. Oh my son, is this the exclusive motivating factor with which you enroll in a university? Then I beg you, leave today. I'm not discrediting and denying, there has to be monetary reward. There has to be material reward. We're not operating on fresh air. But I'm saying that's not the ultimate factor. Does it warrant and justify the dissolving of your practice on the pretext that I'm not living up to inflation? And hence today, if you do an average study, and without generalizing, generally people pursue a degree which enjoys greater monetary return. You might say there's a shortage of this, and there's a lack of pediatricians, and we need more accounting Muslims, and we need more people in this fraternity. End of the day, it's dollar jalla jalalu. excuse the phrase. Some say money talks, others say money screams. He says, I came to Kufa, Uwais ibn Amir, just to tell you about him. When it used to be evening, whatever extra food he had in his house, he used to give it in charity. And then he used to say, Allahumma man mata ju'an fala tu'akhidhni bihi. Allah, whoever on this earth today is dying out of hunger, don't hold me liable, I got nothing extra in my house. Kana idha amsat tasaddaqa bi thiyabihi az-zaid. When the sun would tip on the western horizon, if there was anything extra in the form of clothing, he would give it in charity. Allahumma man mata uryanan fala tu'akhidhni bihi. Oh my Lord, if any of your servant is dying without shelter or clothing, don't hold me accountable. I owe nothing more than what I cleared myself with. What about us, my brothers? I'm saying it's high time we do some soul searching. It's high time we look deep, we look deep. We start asking ourselves serious questions. So anyway, Harim ibn Hayyan says, I came to Kufa, فَلَمْ يَكُنْ لِي هَمٌّ إِلَّا أُوَيْسَ الْقَرْنِ. I came with the motive to meet the man. حَتَّى سَقَطْتُ عَلَيْهِ نِصْفَ النَّهَارِ. It was about midday and luck came my way. I seen a person sitting on the side, on the banks of the Euphrates River. وَهُوَ يَتَوَضَّى. And he was performing ablution. فَعَرَفْتُهُ بِالنَّعْتِ الَّذِي وُصِفَ لِي. I identified him in relation to the profile people had given me about him. آدمٌ tan in complexion. كَثَّ اللِّعْيَى. A dense beard. مَحْلُوقُ الرَّأْسِ. His head was cleanly shaved. عَلَيْهِ إِزَارٌ مِّن سُوفٍ وَرِدَاءٌ مِّن سُوفٍ. He had some woolen clothes with which he had clad himself. So I was pretty certain this is the man I'm looking for. Isolated in one place. I came close, I said, this is my opportunity. You know, we greet someone, salamu alaikum. We said, brother, you know who you greeted? He's the CEO of the company. Hey, jazakallah, salamu alaikum. Greet the pious. Set by them, they are the people, hopefully, the giants like Abu Hanifa and Shafi say, وَحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ. The giants like Abu Hanifa and Shafi, rahimahumullah, say, I love the pious, but I'm not amongst them. I just hope by my assimilation and affection, hopefully my Allah allows me to walk with them on the day of Qiyamah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.